because you're the creator, the created by whom? By God.
Mm-hmm.
So, the world is not amazed by you in their verbal acknowledgement of it, so what? They're not the ones that's going to give you the rewards and the great day for it. And even though you might judge yourself more severely than you should,
mm-hmm.
You are not the one that decides your rewards for yourself. So you need to just stand down and stop criticizing yourself and stop judging yourself by yourself or even by others. The Almighty got you. And what you know to do, ask the Holy Spirit to help you do it and be it and continually grow in it. Because, in this world we live in, there's no ceiling to it, actually. There really isn't. And because the Almighty God. I'll tell you something. Those of you that are in the Richmond area, last night I got to a service that had someone that lives in Richmond speaking in it. And I hadn't seen him in over 20 years, maybe more than that. And it was Victor Torres.
Oh, okay.
And Victor Torres is speaking right down here at the church where I minister. and it was really a blessing seeing he's 78, but he's still kicking it. He's still hitting it.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good seeing him. He was invited by someone that's in that Nikki Cruz line, too, Richie Ray, who I've mentioned to you, did salsa music and that. And it was him that invited, Victor to speak last night. And so he did a blessed job. And I didn't really realize the breadth of the effect or impact that he's had there in Richmond. And then he said to me when we got together, he says, I don't go 3 months of any year that I don't talk about you. Now, there's an example of what I'm talking about. Now, I didn't, in my own thinking, think that Victor Torres ever would have talked about me.
Oh, my goodness.
But he says, I don't go 3 months without talking about you, somebody, and the impact that you have on that city and us and ministry. Well, I'm just saying that to you for an example. You don't know whose lives you have affected to the glory of God. And I've said it to you, but we don't need to know about it. We're going to know about it because God doesn't miss a thing. And you're going to be rewarded for it, even though you didn't do it for that reason. You did it because God legitimately saved you. Mm-hmm. And out of that salvation, you were helped by the Holy Ghost to lead in a pathway where others can be blessed and God can be glorified.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. That's my word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you are, you don't go around calling yourself awesome. And I don't usually do this, what I'm getting ready to do now, but I think the one thing that causes the former president to be disliked so much is because so many people on that other political side see themselves in him.
Wow.
Yes, right about that.
That's right.
They wouldn't call themselves somebody that takes personal credit all the time. They wouldn't call themselves somebody that talks about their accomplishments all the time. They would say they're the greatest and nobody's ever done this before and this is the only time this thing has ever been done like this. And it could be facts in terms of what he was saying, but the fact that he says it, even though they didn't like that, and they call it arrogance and pride and all that, but they never would say, that's you.
That's right. That is the
truth. They said, why do I hate him? Why do I don't like him? I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it.
Because all the former other presidents did it better. But the first thing all of them do is build the library of their accomplishment. They're
sure.
not building a library of their failures.
That's right. Yes.
The former presidents all have libraries, millions of put in their achievements. And some of them, we would never let our children be discipled by any of them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because we can't base it on a title. We got to base it on what kind of lives do these people live.
That's right.
And would we want our children to live a life that way? Now, and so when you start thinking about it, I don't know of one great president that had so great a character. I mean, I can name them. I'm not going to, but I can start naming all of them. They had glaring faults because they lived in the public. Now, this particular one now, I mean, the media hides, on the one side of the media hides everything that he's doing. That's nonsense.
Okay, sure.
Let them go on. They're not the author and finisher of my faith. No president is.
Amen and amen on that one.
But I had somebody cancel me totally out because of my stand with that former president. Cancel me out. You're not even a part of it. You're old. You're not even part of the cancel culture. You cancel me out. You don't want to even talk to me. And because of that, you kicked me totally. Not because I lied, stole, cheated on my wife or something, or whatever. But you not because of sins, but because of politics. You cancel me. We've been. I've blessed you. I've been a friend to you for decades. Yeah. And but they're not the ones who ultimately is going to affirm me.
Thank God.
Amen.
That's what I would say. And then Jenna was saying about the church and some of those people that were in the church. Of course, that's what you got. But, with some of all that stuff that goes on in people's lives, they're not, with all of them, they're not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the greatest people they're not all good.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The tares grow in there with the wheat. It's there. And even though some people are great at hiding it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they always have the right cover. Underneath that cover, there's nonsense. It's nonsense underneath the cover. And so Miss Ellenwood now, she's back in Virginia Beach. Yes, she was here with me until Saturday. Okay? And so she was here a whole month. And then she helped me with Mrs. Boone. And it was work. I mean, this thing, she got. I mean, that stuff was some work for that woman. But, but all that she did is not recorded anywhere but in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even see all the stuff that she did because I was gone every day. And the times that I was able to leave to go visit with my wife and to be up there with her, she was here grinding it out. With a long list of stuff that she had to do for me, as well as the stuff she just picked up on in here that had to be done. I mean, and then, look, like yesterday, I just give you an example. Now, Ms. Ellen wasn't here, but so it's all immediately changed for me. So I thought, okay, well, she's gone now. I can use my own house as a consecration place. I'm going into a consecration time and all this. Hey, those people from that hospital called me up at 6:39 a.m. and said, "We don't have a sitter for your wife. Can you come over and sit with her and be on that?" Then they said, "Or do you have a relative that can come over and be with her today?" And I couldn't call them back and said, "I don't have any relatives down here." We just got down here a month ago. And you can't call me 2 hours before or, at, you know, the same day and ask me to come up there because you don't have the staff where it, because they're on vacation or taking a holiday. You can't do it. You got to do it. That's what you're supposed to do. But that's what it is. That's what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of great stuff God has planned for us that doesn't seem to be the kind of stuff we would schedule in.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, glory to God, that's what I got. So I got up there. That's when I could. I went to church first, though. Got up there. You all got to take it until I get up there. I'm going to church over there. And, yep, I did. But you are amazing people, all of you. And 5 o'clock in the morning time is not the indicator. It's just one of the things in the pathway of your dedication toward God. And I bless the Lord for you. And I thank God for you. Tonight, I will be ministering again. I don't know if you get a chance, but Ms. Unwood would know whether this is true. Two men. It looks like the sense, this is the redemptive way of God. I'm supposed to minister here every first Sunday. Two services here at 9 a.m. and then 12. And then I minister Monday night with the men. Monday night. I think it's out there. Who knows? I don't pay attention to that. I should. But I think it's out. You can see it online. And then on Wednesday, I'm due there. Wednesday night service. So I just said, look, just make it a 3-day conference revival time with me. And I got that. But since I'm here, he wants me to do every Monday. If I'm here on a Monday, do the Monday men anyway. So tonight I will be there. Tomorrow, though, by the grace of God, I'm starting back on Facebook at 8 a.m.
Praise God.
And I'm going to start hitting it. I've been 5 months. I've stopped. But I'm not only going to be on Facebook. I'm going to be all over a lot of stuff. That's okay. However, I just said, that's it. From now until he comes, I'm going to be hitting it on every possible vehicle I can get on with all the truth he's given me. And I got a lot of stuff. Can you imagine stuff I got stored up for 5 months?
Amen.
So that's what it is. But you know what? I tell you what Miss Ellenwood did, though. She had a chance. And because with these men, I talked, maybe it was two Mondays ago, I read a portion out of my book, Your Wife Is Not Your Mama, on what a father says to a potential husband for his daughter. And I read it. It was about a couple of pages. And then I also wrote in there the response that he would expect from the former, the young man, that the daughter, the groom. And I didn't read that. I said, get the book. You can read it that way. But here is the point. Right now, you look at all of these great people who are being raised up right now. I mean, I'm talking about the billionaires, the ones that really made it through this. Thank you. The ones that really made it through the COVID year. And you know, Joaquin, this is his name down here, Joaquin Molina. He's really, really into marriage and family. And, of course, God is. But he brings out the point, and I mentioned it last week, about, you know, Jeff Bezos, the Amazon, the guy that owned Tesla. I don't even bother about their name. Bill Gates. Even Warren Buffett. You can just keep naming them. These people could build great companies. Bob Johnson, the BET director. You can keep naming them. but they couldn't build a great marriage. Now, they get credit for their companies, but it's not a demerit for their failure in their marriage. See? And the effect of that is manifold. It's amazing. It's as though these guys, these women, help these men. And because the ones that I mentioned pretty much build during their marriage those great companies. So that woman has something to do with it. I mean, this is a kingmaker prayer line, but this is a kingmaker point. I'm saying that husband the daddy did not expect that after 10, 15, 20 years or longer, and one, it was 20, over 20, 25, 27. One of them that I just mentioned was a maid that lived in, and he divorced his wife and married the maid. But whatever. But the point is that daddy didn't expect that after 10 years or 15 or 20 years, you would throw his daughter away. I mean, he built her up to be the great woman that you would choose and would acknowledge before bridesmaids and grooms and an audience to say, till death us do part. And after you become, quote, successful, she can't be a part of the latter part of your years. Which when you break it all down, I mean, I was just thinking about it. I mean, I don't love my wife any less because she doesn't respond to me the same now because she's challenged. It's my challenge. I didn't know I could love her this much. Actually, I'm talking about in terms of what I want to do for her. And the last time I can remember sleeping alone here, I'm talking about in my own home, when she cannot come with me, was when she had the brain surgery in 2002. I remember going home and she wasn't there, the emptiness of that. And I came over there. This is just a part of, you know, what it is. And I walked in there to the hospital room. Oh, she was in the hallway, sitting in a wheelchair. This is just recent, a couple, 3 days ago. And I walked in, and she says, she's crying. I said, "What are you crying for? I'm so glad to see you." And then she says, "I don't know any of these people around here." I just hugged her and got her by myself in the room and ministered to her. But that broke my heart. But you know what? She didn't know I felt exactly the same way. I was by myself. And not feeling sorry for myself. I wasn't in the shape she's challenged with now. God is great. Don't get me wrong. God is great. Nothing is a surprise to God. I have no questions to God right now. God is great. And it's not just great when we're hitting it. I'm hitting it right now with you. See, but I'll be there with her today as well. There's no problem at all with it. God is great. But I never knew I could have love like this. And at the same time, these people whose names I mentioned, they willfully said, I don't want to be with this person anymore. I want to share my success in business and my money and my mansions and my cars and my servants with some new person, because the substance of the challenges of our lives together for however long it's been, and in many of those cases, it was years and years, instead of valuing it like they do when they said they had the wine down in the wine cellar, to valuing their experiences, they said, no, I'm done with this. And they don't realize what I'm looking at now. I'm looking at a number of passages here for you this morning. Legitimate to the world, but illegitimate to God. And the one that's going to answer their future, the one that's going to determine the forever dimension, will have to tell them, flee from me, I never knew you. Now, I don't know if these people are saved. I've never heard any of those people I just mentioned, but numbers of them ever acknowledge the Lord. But that's some of the case I have heard also with some of the political leaders that you and I know about. That's in the media now. There's such a shame. Look, that's, you have to say, as far as these people are concerned, about God, the creator of life. Victor said yesterday, in the right context, I'm not saying it in the context of his statement, but he says, God is bigger than life. And the reason is he's the author of it. He's the pre-existing one. See? And the measure of what God can give in terms of essence, value, life, is there's no instrument that can measure it. And that's why often when I read passages in scriptures where finally one of the people, leaders or not, in the Bible finally get a glimpse of who God is, they can do nothing but go into realistically a praise, whether it's sinner or saint. You see, Job in his pilgrimage, or Nebuchadnezzar in his, when they really discover who God is, all they could do is go out, break out in an acknowledgement. Well, in our cases, those on the line with me, nothing like it. The reality of God and his amazement. To trust us with life. See, look, I've come to give you life just right there. See, right there. He's not just talking about the fact that you're physically existing, because some people, like, they are just existing. They don't understand what life is all about from God's viewpoint. And you can probably look out at most of the news and get that. And you can get that, too, from Christians, that they don't seem to get it. But we're not the ultimate judge of all of it. We may have been given the ability to influence some people in their pilgrimage, in their life span. And we may be in living in a call, like I turned on the channel, the Hillsong channel, and which, anyway, partnering with TBN for what used to be called the Church Channel, Hillsong. I think they're partnering in terms of that. But I let my wife listen to it, and I've listened. So I sat there with her, and we listened to program after program. And we're not called to judge those people, no matter what. And my wife has probably looked at more Christian television where she's at now than she ever has in her lifetime. And she's been with me for most of it. Now, because they had the volunteer staff there this past weekend or this week, I couldn't give them the instructions of don't turn that channel. Because she's not engaged with that. Leave that right there on that channel. All you people, whether you're the sitter, don't ask her, does she want another channel? Don't change that channel. You leave it right there. So now that would be one of the times I would appreciate televangelism way more than any other type of TV. Don't change that channel. So that's a good reason to leave these people alone. Who's on television, no matter what they've done. They're not saying what they're saying. Because all it takes from God is a divine fiat. If you don't like these people, they're not for you. See? Let me read just a couple of verses. And then looks like, look, it's almost whatever. Don't call it out the time I have. 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 resources right here in front. 2 Bibles and 2 of my resources. Ms. Elwood, by the way, makes the point that your wife is not your mama is way more impacting than my journey with God. She makes the point. So she broke each of the chapters up of Your Wife Is Not Your Mama and gave them to me in booklets. You know how she is. And the one that I'm looking at right now, while I'm talking to you, I just glanced at it, is Women Should Marry Grown-Up Men. And when I think about eternity training, even back then, the point of not only the chapter names, but the content points to the next world. And that what I would say would be the failure of these guys who divorce these women who know better. And there are Christians who do it too. I mean, you just come to the toleration point where you say, that's it. I'm not tolerating it any longer and I'm done. Okay. All right. I'm not the one you have to answer to. So we'll see if God says that's okay. See. He's put in the word what he requires. And you don't agree with him? Okay, that's what you got. Another chapter is, which is actually chapter 1, is going all out for your wife. And, you know, it's kind of a lot. There's a lot in there. And almost, I made it a point early on to try to give work through points as well as read through points. So, and on the end of that chapter, going all out for your wife, I asked, you know, people to do some things. And I list, for example, I have to list 50 reasons why you love your wife. That's a good little opportunity. Then list 50 reasons why your wife loves you. And then I said, list 50 things that you can change about yourself in your household that will help bring revival to your wife and your home. And then make a prayer list out of them. Yep. So it's just stuff like that. Another chapter is men should marry kingmaker women. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then on the back of, end of that chapter, if you remember it, I said, here are some beliefs that a kingmaker can embrace. I endorse the principles of the Lord. I am an ideal match for Jesus. Look, see, I got you in the next world. Our home is a sanctuary. We have a home like heaven. I don't think only of myself. I think of how to bless God and my husband and children for the rest of our lives together. Isn't that powerful? God calls families. We have a family destiny together. And then this is what numbers of you did and maybe tried to do or didn't know to do. But here we are. I'll help my husband to achieve God's destiny, and he will help me to achieve mine alongside him as we live together in divine harmony. See, that's men should marry kingmaker women. That's pretty good right there. And on and on and on, how to blow your wife's mind, have the home court advantage all the time. Another chapter, in-laws are not outlaws. It's kind of interesting what happens with that. And be the man of God your family needs. And that's your wife is not the mother. That, the stuff is current right now. It's stuff that should be going on right now. So, I'll recapitulate tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., 1st of June. Now, in this state, from what I understand, the masks are done with. The governor has decided no masks are necessary and nobody can make you wear them. I'm in Florida. I heard from Victor that the governor of Virginia already decided that. Now, you know, Mississippi governor long decided it's open. And Texas and other states have decided it. Well, here we are. I've said there's a new world order. And one virus was used to change the agenda of a lot of things. And believe it or not, there were people who really, really prospered. Like Amazon, for example. And FedEx and all these type services. And then there are some organizations and companies that failed. The churches themselves, if I could say, many of them that understood how to deal with social media really prospered financially. Now, I did have a person tell me this, that Benny Hinn has reached more people with during this COVID season on social media than he's ever reached on all his travels doing ministry before COVID. Yeah, there you are. Well, I'm not a pre-COVID and post-COVID person, actually. And I didn't change anything, actually. I kept doing what I was called to do and just kept going for it. That's what it is. Except where I was restricted. Of course, you know, they wouldn't let us Americans in. I don't know if they still opened up totally. Johannesburg, to South Africa and other places like that. Now, there are countries still going through it right now. And there's a lot to be said about all that, but it's more to be said about your calling and the hand of God on your life. Listen, when you start, there's some people God unveiled to us, his encounter to them. Others, they just come on the scene. See? But I would say to you now, in Christ, you need to trust God for a quickening, not figuring things out, but being quickened into a revelation of what God wants out of you for the rest of your life. Way, way more important than using your brain. Now, I'm not saying you don't use your brain. I'm just saying the issue is about whether or not you've been inspired from heaven to not only go on to the next phase. So you're like, well, dude, you're like, I finished on your job. When Finney, I told you before, when Father Nash died, Finney no longer had the same impact in cities. So he went from there to becoming the president of Oberlin College, which did a lot in terms of allowing black Americans to become students there, to go to that school. He was a pioneer college with that and with women. Finney was the, became the president of it. But it said that this guy, Finney, so transformed New York, but particularly Rochester, Rome, numerous other places. Remember, you've heard me talk about Philadelphia. It says that in 1830 and 1831, in what has been called the greatest year of spiritual awakening in American history, guess what? That's one man's life. You know, quickened by God, what God can do to you. So there's nothing going on in life that's beyond how God might use you. See? And it's said that George Williams, who is really was an English worker, was converted by just reading about Finney. And in 1844, having read about social reform that Finney wrote about, this guy finds the YMCA. Can you believe that? See, I'm just saying, we started out just mentioning the effect that you're having. Now, who's to say that, bless her work, her book, that Anika's book, Lord, you're not going to use it to bring a person to a level of understanding you that is, that's never been reached before, or that there will be a conversion of someone like a George Williams to find something or to do something that is generational in its ability. The potential is that Penny never even met George Williams and understood it was, but sure, he didn't understand the breadth of what was going to happen with it. But this was a man who read Penny's writings and did this. So here it is. You'd be encouraged. Those of you on the line, I'd like to encourage you tomorrow morning, get in there with me. And then pray for me also. I'm going to start devotionals. Bishop Hunt does it now. And so that's a blessing. I'm not even worried about right now all the stuff you got to have together in terms of all of it. It's not going to be tomorrow morning when you come on with me. I'm going to be live. It's not going to be like the professionals. So it's not a fat boy broadcast. It's just me with the things that God's given me. And I trust there'll be enough there for you to say, I got to have it like this. I got to have what he's saying. What I want to leave with you here, though, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Mm-mm. Things aren't just happening in your life. God has prepared something amazing through your life that he's going to get the glory for. But he's using you in the amazement. Don't think you're at the end. I can hear you guys over there in the different cities where you're from. And then the silent ones, I don't usually go like this. But don't think that God doesn't know you're there because you didn't speak up and you couldn't give your testimony on Memorial Day. Joaquin Molina did a great message on memory, remember scripture, memorial. He used that as a memorial. And he used the scriptures related to what God wants you to remember. And it's a good message. Go to Spring of Life Facebook page or something like that. You would do it how you would do it. And it's about a 45-minute message, but I guarantee you will be glad you listened to it. It's some substance there to it. And, yeah. I thank the Lord for each of you and every one of you for what God is doing in your lives. And I would say, unless God has said to you, you're finished, you should actually refire right now. See? I'll tell you something. There, some of these companies, they have pre-planned how they're going to function post-COVID. See? Now, some of them know they have to do things different. But listen, why don't you pre-plan how you're going to launch forward before everything totally frees up? And let me tell you, that so big spirit you and I have to conquer is the spirit of fear. First in us, and then out there in the culture. That is right now the predominant spirit that's out. And it's not just with guarding this particular thing. It's just fear overall. The devil has counterattacked the church, and the church has shown itself as wanting. But you're still living. So that means there is something special that God can still do to the whole world through just one of you, if you let him. My Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of every person under the sound of my voice. As I sit here looking at these notes and thinking about their comments and their memorials, they're so much greater than anything they could think of that has occurred in their lives. You did it. And it looks to me, Father, that you're not finished yet. Faithful are you who called us, who also will do it. To God be the glory. May the blessings of the Lord continue to mount up and run ahead of you. And you're walking in the divine flow. And that this week, look, you never saw it before. I never saw it before. Why wouldn't it be great? And the greatest of all, the latter greater than the former. Can you bleed with me for it? It's really been ordained. God has never let the devil whip him. and we're not supposed to either. Go ahead. You bless child of God, son, daughter. Do it. God's with you. God bless. See you in the morning for those of you that see it. Tell your friends about it. Put it out there. Watch. We're going to hit it. Bye-bye. Pastor Hunt, did you go to sleep on me just because I was like kind of low-keyed here?